work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, AI is good, isn't it? It almost sounds like me.
Very close.
Almost sounds like me.
Younger version. Last year's version.
Yeah, should I just write that off?
I think so.
I did say that in our big prediction segment. The Minnesota Vikings are going to win the 2025 Super Bowl. I didn't say they're going to win it at some point. Were they eliminated from winning the Super Bowl last night?
No. Playoffs haven't started yet.
The tweet, by the way, follow us at Chad Hartman Show. That's me. This is Dave Harrigan. He's at Dave_Harrigan. The opening segment, an exceptional season, and then last night. Is that fair? The regular season was exceptional until last night. It was 14-2. That's exceptional.
Yeah.
It was stunning. It was unexpected. The New York Jets were about to offer us the Statue of Liberty for Kevin O'Connell. 651-461-9226. If the Jets want KOC, what do we want from New York? What do you want? Rudy?
No.
One of the delis?
Maybe we just want Cat back.
He's on my list.
Can you trade KOC for Cat?
He's on my list. How about the Bronx?
Meh.
Oh, no. I mean, don't we want a part of the state that's a long ways away?
Hey, shoot high. Let's take all of Long Island. Let's start there.
How about Manhattan? Let's really shoot high. Let's go to Manhattan.
Let's do that. That's fine. I mean, if they wanted to give us a statue, that's fine. I don't know where we'd put it.
Well, if we had a Great Lake, as John Williams once said, we could put it there. I'd love to be playing the 15th downhill treacherous, sometimes drivable par four at Northland, and then Lake Superior, there's Lady Liberty in the background.
Sure, that would be okay.
That'd be great. The rats, would we like those giant-sized rats that you have in New York?
If we get the bagels that they eat, too, so we could have good bagels in this town.
Oh, bagels on the list for me for overrated, underrated, properly rated, because you know me, I don't really like bagels, but I think I found tremendous bagels.
Oh, my.
Just a couple days ago. Right near me. Shockingly.
Under your nose the whole time.
Congestion pricing. Do we want that?
I don't think we do.
I don't think we do. Okay, where do we start? I think we got to start with Darnold. Because it was also a couple weeks ago. So in the last couple weeks, I've said they're going to win the Super Bowl. And I've said the debate on Darnold is done, that at minimum, you have to franchise him. 0 to 10, Dave Harrigan and audience, 651-461-9226. 0 to 10. 0 is abysmal. 10 is Mahomesian. Tell me the number you have for Sam Darnold. I don't know his middle name. What do you think? I'm saying a traditional middle name. Joseph.
Samuel Joseph Darnold?
It seems, you know. Seems like if you're Samuel, you then have and also a traditional middle name.
I'm going to go with
where I'm making that up from. I have no idea.
I think the parents went traditional and then a little bit of new, a little newer. I'm going newer. With Samuel Austin Darnold.
Samuel, why don't you look it up
I
right
will.
Now? 0 to 10, along with what you'd want from the Jets, who, by the way, have requested an interview with two Vikings officials, not Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell is going nowhere. Let's just end that. Jake Lazor had a minute left, didn't have anything, and said teams were inquiring about O'Connell. The Wolves, I bet the Wolves were even proud of KOC last night. They're going to sign him with a 5-year deal. He's going to be making like $10 million. He's going nowhere. Kwesi might get a 4-year extension. They might even show KOC how they love him just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. What is the middle name?
Samuel Richard Darnold.
What is that? That's fairly traditional, right?
I think so.
That's fairly
traditional. Yeah.
Does he go by Dick?
I don't think he does.
No,
I think he goes by Sam.
Yeah, I would not. I wouldn't. 0 to 10, Sam Darnold's performance last night for Dave Harrigan was
1.7.
Yeah. I think that's a if I have to go over or under, I'd go under. I really would. He was dreadful.
Yes.
He really was. Now, I've got some data from culling sources. And some folks spotted this also all over the web and some sites that you can follow. He was blitzed 56% of the time last night. 49% of the time, he felt pressure. So half the time when he goes back, he's feeling pressure. The interesting part of all of it, until last night, this is from Collar. He had the best completion percentage against the blitz.
He was great all season long.
We talked about it so many times, right? When teams would blitz, he was great. He faced a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. Adam's not going to call him Dickie Darnold. Dickie Darnold the rest of the way. Double D! Dickie Darnold. That's very good. The pressure absolutely played a part. And here's another one. They went zero, cover zero, right? Where you're basically sending 7-8 guys 14 times, more than any team has done the entire year. That's what Aaron Glenn did. Aaron Glenn was delivering his potential head coaching resume last night. It was a signature performance for Aaron Darnold, but it was aided by the ineptitude of Darnold. So we can play the 0 to 10 game again. If we're saying he's a 1 to a 2, how much of that factors in by the way that Glenn had all sorts of success blitzing him? Because it plays a part. There's no doubt. They made it tough. But if you're watching those times in the red zone, and I'm on the record, by the way, I have zero problem with KOC going for it when they're inside the red zone. Absolutely positively zero. WCCO radio host, soon to be the eventual host of Drive Time with Dan Cook. He's got that Wisconsin Badger mindset. Kick the field goals.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the top offense in the National Football League.
They're going to score points.
They've scored 40 or more 6 times. They're averaging mid-30s. Now, the Vikings defense was really good, and they scored more late when the game was out of control. I think KOC and Flores should be happy with the way defense played last night. But I had no problem going for it. But let's go over them. Jordan Addison runs a route to the sidelines in the end zone. Throw him the ball. Jordan Addison, drive later, comes from, I think it might be Naylor's inside him. He's out wide. They run a split. He is open. Darnold is looking at him. Throw the ball. TV did a terrible job on the one where Collinsworth is saying, well, Jefferson normally makes the catch. It was a disastrous throw where he's running the back line of the end zone. He's running from the top of our screen to the lower part of our screen. And God knows what Lions cornerback is out there because they're down to like their 19th. And Jefferson has, what, two strides on him?
Wide open.
Wide open. And he throws it behind him and high. And then the stop and go, his arm is hit. But, man, I watched that replay a couple times. Looked like his arm might have been hit after he released the ball. Jefferson is unbelievably wide open. You can't miss that way. Here are the numbers from some place called OPA Stats, which I'd never heard of. But here's how they were in the end zone. In the red zone, excuse me. Four times in the red zone. How many TDs do you think they had, Dave?
That would be zero.
That'd be zero. That'd be zero. Three times have goal to go.
Mm-hmm.
No touchdowns.
That would be zero again.
Two failed fourth and goal attempts. And they also, the now beleaguered Will Reichert. Is it possible? We talk a lot of body doubles on this show. You know, Saddam Hussein, Melania. Will Reichert disappeared for a while. Is this a different Will Reichert?
Did they give him a new leg? One that's just a little bit twisted up a little bit?
Give him back the old leg.
Yeah. Or bring in the guy that took over for Reichert for those few
John
weeks.
John Parker Romo.
He was pretty good.
He was pretty good. The Vikings' fear of that is they cut Reichert and it turns into a Daniel Carlson situation part two.
Those issues have happened.
That is happening. And again, the dumbest play of the night by the Vikings was Reichert kicking it out of bounds when it's 7-6 and there's 20 seconds to go. I know he slipped, but that sucks some life out of you.
How do you slip in a dome?
It's because he's got this... They put the wrong leg back.
That could be, yeah. That's probably it.
By the way, all that data I gave you, according to OPA Stats, that's never happened for one team in 30 years.
No, congratulations.
Never happened for one team in 30 years. So what is bugging you most right now about last night? Or are you saying, namaste, they're 14-3. They exceeded every one of my expectations until last night. They're going to L.A. They're going to play an inferior team. They're going to beat them, and then who knows? Now, if Dan Campbell proves to be prophetic when he said to KOC, see you in 2 weeks, maybe he said see ya. What would you say, see ya or see you?
See ya.
See ya. I think that's closer.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be close. See you in 2 weeks. Now, if the two favored teams win, that would be see ya in 2 weeks. Would the Vikings rather stare at Detroit or stare at Philly? And if one person texts me, it's tough to beat a team three times, I'm going to track you down. And I'm going to take the air out of your tires. I don't want to hear it once.
Well, it is difficult.
Not if you're better. No, it's not.
Well.
I'd rather be. Who would you rather be? The team that's won twice or the team that's lost twice? Here's how many times I'm going to be the team that wins twice. Every time.
I'd rather be the team that lost twice because
okay.
That means you're due.
Okay. Okay. We're due for a break.
Mm-hmm.
We've given you a lot of stuff early. I want your feedback. What angers you? The Darnold experience? Are you done with Darnold? Because I'm not done with Darnold yet. If he stinks up the joint in L.A., you might have to go to the 12-year-old next year. He's Benjamin Button, J.J. McCarthy. He might be a toddler by the time they start next year. He looks so young on the sidelines. Was that the ball boy? Was that KOC's oldest son? That really wasn't J.J. McCarthy.
That was the first-round draft pick, Chad.
My God, he looks young. What do you got for me? 651-461-9226. About 98% of the TVs were on that game last night. So rightfully so. We're talking about the purple right here on CCO. Congress right now is going state by state, certifying the election. This has happened a few times now where the loser is the vice president. And in this case, for the first time, she has to sit there and listen. Right now, she's leading.
Good
186, for her. 64. What if she... When we get to some of the swing states, she grabs, like, the envelope. I got this one. I got this one, the great state of Pennsylvania. Whoa, for Kamala Harris. It's kind of what happened January 6, 2021. We'll get to that at 1:05. We're going to talk magic mushrooms and a task force on legalizing them at in about 10. Overrated, we're moving to 135, Scoggins at 205. Let's get to your text here on the purple. Why couldn't the line protect Darnold? If I could hit them many times, I would have been throwing the ball over the place too. I felt like he was throwing the ball all over the place even before the pressure started to set in. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, he was wild all night. There's no question about that. The pressure didn't help. He was having to escape when he wasn't getting hit.
It was a great idea by the Lions, right?
And it worked to perfection.
And bravo to Aaron Glenn. Yeah.
And I was befuddled, I think as many were, why the game plan didn't seem to change. You know, third quarter when they were still in it, there was like a third and eight or something like that. Darnold drops back and gets sacked, and they show the overhead view from behind as the pressure's getting him. And there's one route that's kind of a drag route, you know, short of the sticks. And then three receivers still going, wait, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are we picking a play that takes so long to develop when for 2.5 quarters they've already shown they can get to your guy before he can get, before the receivers can make a break?
That's my biggest pet peeve with O'Connell last night. And I like his offense where it's not the dink and dunk. It's not the check down. And how many times have we watched Darnold, especially on those sideline routes, 15 to 20-yard throws, missiles just right on target? But when they're bringing everybody, cover zero, 14 times more than anybody's done all year, when they're blitzing 56% of the time, KOC, we love you. A screen, a slant, a shorter route.
Yeah, give the guys, like you said, cover zero. Give them a chance to break a tackle and go.
On one. It's just, here's a novel concept. Cover zero, throw it to JJ and say, we trust you're going to get it.
Yeah, instead we're airmailing JJ, airmailing TJ Hawkins.
That's what I'm saying, because there are plenty of those throws before he got to the red zone failure, where he was overthrowing those guys. Mm-hmm. You see, Jordan Addison's dad was all upset again. Jordan Addison's dad doesn't hide his anger on social media. I think we might have to pay attention to the Addison family. The Addison family away from the field gives us some material. Let's just say, great line. I swear I saw a note from McCarthy's mom pinned to his shirt giving them permission to let him play. So good. Darnold hung into the ball forever all game long. That's because most of these routes are long developing. More tech. Sam was a solid two last night. Chad, he never settled down to make the play. Completely embarrassing performance. We're the better team. We really didn't show up to win. No, they were not the better team. You cannot say that. They lost 31-9. And, you know, Sue Dogg wrote about this a little bit today. Was it, did he choke? I don't know about choke. But it seemed like the game overwhelmed him. So am I just being PC here? Am I
Probably
pulling punches?
Are. I think you are.
Because he did not meet the moment.
No. He did not make the plays that he's made almost all season long when they were there right in front of him. And you can say that about him. You can say that about a couple receivers. You can say that about the O-line. You can say that about the coaching staff.
Correct. So, no. They were not the better team last night. Somebody's saying the Purple are going to lose the Rams next Monday night. Well, if they do, as you pointed out in the email today, they would have to be the only team in the history of the NFL for the totality of the season, which counts the playoffs, to lose four games and to lose them to two teams twice. No way.
In consecutive weeks each time.
There's no way that's ever been done before.
Let's vote for history, folks. Come on.
Yeah. The offensive line was ineffective. Why didn't they run the ball 3 yards on us and trying to pass? Okay, let's get to run. That's another blind spot for O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's running more. Here's O'Connell. Could come back. I mean, can you look at how many rush attempts Aaron Jones had this year? Because it's a big number. And again, the Cam Akers story, great again last night on that big run. The timing is Jones is getting some treatment or he's going to the bathroom. Whatever he's doing, he's not on the sidelines yet. And as Akers is running, there's Aaron Jones walking up the sidelines the opposite way. You know, Jones has rushed the ball well over 200 times, right?
255 carries.
That's a lot of carries, right?
Yeah, and then add in, you know, handful of catches.
Right. I still feel like that KOC doesn't run the ball enough. And I thought last night there were ample opportunities where you're like, Kevin, you got to run the ball a little more. And then I pointed that out, and then they started running. And then, of course, on Twitter, I had to say, couldn't know KOC is monitoring my Twitter.
Yeah, well, they had the great the Cam Akers breakaway for 40 yards, whatever that was. But, you know, inside the 5-yard line, I think they ran the ball once. And, you know, the problem is they weren't getting anything when they were running the ball close to the goal line, you know?
Yeah, I think they were doing that later. I just think there were more chances to balance it out. But you nailed it, by the way, Trump. No shock. He's already over the 270. Wow. It's interesting when things are calm, how it works out and how the American voters' views are reflected.
Hmm.
A day of love also taking place today. KOC gets credit because those guys were open. Doesn't get credit for me because I thought there were chances to run more. And also, you got to give Darnold a little bit more of a chance, especially when he's not throwing the ball well. A little more screens, slants, just short drags, as you said. Darnold, a lot of pressure, but he is. That was Jacksonville like, right? That was like that game. I don't think Hockenson had a great game because he couldn't escape coverage enough.
Nobody could.
Yeah, and they were very physical. Why not? I don't fault them in a game where the officials are trying to find ways to not be involved. Be physical. I thought Flores and the Vikings defense kind of sounds silly when the opponent scored 31 points. I thought they were good. How about Gibbs? As I forget where I read it today, I forgot. Gibbs, when they tried to run the ball early, they were having no success with Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
His first six carries, you know what he had total?
Nothing.
A yard. And then in the end, he was by far the best player on the field. We'll get back to it later. Mushrooms. Are we going to legalize more? The chair of the task force on this report, who's advocating for it, joins us next. We'll get to our musical theme next segment that Dave Harrigan has provided. Professor Jessica Nielsen is with us. She chaired a task force which has recommended decriminalizing certain mushrooms. It's a 23-member psychedelic medicine task force which released a report just under 200 pages on New Year's Day, which we felt like didn't receive enough attention. Jessica is a neuroscientist, a psychedelic researcher, and as she has been exploring the therapeutic potential of psychedelics for well over a decade. And the professor, Jessica Nielsen, is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jessica, thanks for your time. I appreciate your time. Why do you believe this is the right decision?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, you know, there's been a lot of interest in psychedelic medicines, and so the task force was charged with reviewing the scientific literature about psychedelic medicines, how to minimize conflicts with federal laws, as well as develop a plan for regulation and public education around psychedelic medicines, which includes the psilocybin-containing mushrooms you mentioned.
When you went into this report, what was your feeling about it? And after the report was done, with the help of you and 22 others, where did you change your view?
That's a good question. I mean, when I went into it, I was very much, and still am, an advocate for pushing for psychedelic therapies to be legalized and available for people that want them, as well as trying to expand access for other people that may not necessarily want to go through the medical model and explore them on their own terms, because things like psilocybin mushrooms have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years, by indigenous communities for spiritual, religious, and healing purposes. And so the broader conversations on the task force are really centered around the laws around them, as well as what is their therapeutic and potential religious uses.
Okay, so let's talk about psilocybin mushrooms. Mm-hmm. If I ended up taking psilocybin mushrooms for pleasure, tell me the feeling. And then if I was battling depression or anxiety, how are they viewed as a benefit along that realm?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in terms of the, you know, quote unquote recreational use, I think, you know, they're very intense experiences at the dose that people usually take. And I don't know that people would necessarily say they're doing them recreationally, but they do help people feel good and connected to either, you know, a spiritual practice they might have or just sort of feelings of well-being. And in terms of helping with things like depression, they're really good at kind of acting like a heat-seeking missile to get at what might be the root cause of somebody's depression that maybe aren't readily accessible, because our brain really does a good job at dampening down things that make us experience pain and suffering. And so it's able to really crack that open and allow people to understand what might be driving their depression.
So I've spent a fair amount of time in this show over the years, Jessica, talking about legalizing marijuana and also using it in a different way to deal with pain, anguish, diseases. And they're two very different types of cannabis. So for the individuals listening to you right now and thinks of, I don't know, last night or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, where they may have had mushrooms recreationally versus what you guys are talking about here, can you explain the difference to them?
The difference between recreational and therapeutic uses?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think it really...
Also, are we just talking different mushrooms, let alone the different purposes?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're all psilocybin-containing mushrooms. The stuff that you're hearing about in the popular press and in clinical trials is a synthetic version of psilocybin and not the mushrooms themselves. And so what we're advocating for is for the naturally derived psilocybin mushrooms, because it doesn't rely on a pharmaceutical company. It doesn't require FDA approval. They're easy to grow. We just need to decriminalize them and or legalize and regulate them. And then people can choose to use them either for pleasure or for therapeutic purposes. It's really up to the purpose of whatever the person wants to do and what they want to get out of the experience.
Where are these legal across America as of today?
Well, so federally, these substances are on Schedule I of the Controlled Substances Act, meaning that they are the most illegal form of drugs, like heroin, but that doesn't mean that they're as dangerous as heroin. There's a lot of clinical trials showing that there are therapeutic benefits. So there are a few states, Oregon and Colorado, that have created state legalized programs for people to access psilocybin mushrooms in kind of a controlled environment with a trained therapist or facilitator. But beyond that, they're illegal at the federal level and can only be accessed in the form of a clinical trial.
How far along are they in those two states, and do you have a feel for how that has played out so far?
Yeah, so in Oregon, they actually opened up their psilocybin service centers in the summer of 2023, and from what I've heard, they've already treated around 7,000 people that are coming there to use them for a variety of reasons, whether it's spiritual, therapeutic, or just you know, for the experience of it. Colorado is just now opening their doors starting now in 2025. And so it's unclear how that's going to go. But so far, you know, we hear really good things about the program, aside from it being a little cost prohibitive and people having to travel to another state in order to do it.
This is Jessica Nielsen. She is a neuroscientist and a psychedelic researcher. She's been exploring potential therapeutic uses of psychedelics for 10 years. She's the chair of a psychedelic medicine task force that released a report, 191 pages, on New Year's Day. What happens to this report now? Where does it go? What do you expect to happen? What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, so the report is currently living in the state's legislative reference library, and it is really meant to be kind of a tool for the legislature to use as psychedelic access programs may unfold in the state over the coming years. And so my personal hope is, you know, someone in the legislature will actually turn this into a bill and try to champion it through the process so we can have that signed into law and have a psychedelic medicine access program here in Minnesota. But that really requires someone in the legislature to be bold enough to actually do that.
Did you get any feedback at all from the governor?
There was a representative of the governor on the task force, but we didn't speak to the governor directly, no.
So you have no idea if the governor would advocate for this?
I can't speak for the governor, no.
Okay. For the individual who's listening right now, who was anti the legalization of marijuana, although that process is taking forever, it's pretty ridiculous what's happened so far. And then here's this conversation, thinks, this is the last thing we need. Is greater access to more illicit drugs. What do you say to that individual who is pretty entrenched in their position?
Yeah, I would say, you know, these magic mushrooms specifically have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years for spiritual and therapeutic uses. And the results coming out of the clinical trials are very, very promising. I don't think we can equate this to cannabis at all. Clinical trials with cannabis have not proven to show much that's terribly convincing, even though people will claim that they help. But when it comes to psilocybin, the evidence from the clinical trials is very, very promising, especially for depression. And so there's currently phase three trials, which is the last stage of clinical trials before FDA will consider approval. And those are going pretty well so far. So, you know, I would say for the people that are a little skeptical of this, you know, this is a very promising new therapy that does have really good science behind it, suggesting that it might be better than what is currently available to people.
So you recommended the magic mushrooms, but you did not recommend MDMA and LSD. How come? What's the difference?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the main thing there was basically that, you know, psilocybin-containing mushrooms are natural. They're easy to grow within the state. And LSD and MDMA are synthetic. They need to be produced in a lab. And when it comes to things that are kind of on the controlled substances list of Schedule I drugs, like we do with cannabis, you know, it's technically in violation of federal law, but we do kind of grow it and source it in state without the DEA intervening. And so I think there was just inherently more trust in something that we could just grow within the state that doesn't require all this synthetic manufacturing in order to procure a supply for a medicine program in the state.
Jessica, thank you. Excellent information. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is Professor Jessica Nielsen. She's been a part of this for over a decade. She's a neuroscientist. Dave, you are also, right? We don't mention that much, but you're a neuroscientist. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been working on that for quite a while.
Yeah, off hours while you're not producing the show. And this debate on magic mushrooms. Well, if Big Pharma tells us to take something, Dave, what a 99.9% of us do.
Write that prescription, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. And by the way, a lot of those medicines work. This is not a comment where, oh, I hate medicine, or I hate science, or I hate doctors, or I'm not buying it. But some of those can have some downsides also. And I've listened for years and years from individuals on medicinal marijuana. Oh, you can't do that. It's a gateway. It's incredibly different from recreational marijuana, which, by the way, I'm a libertarian. I think you should be allowed to do, and I think the new timeline in Minnesota is the year 3006. I think we should look at this. I really do. This isn't, hey, I'm in college and I'm going to dabble. This is for people who are facing extraordinarily difficult facets of their life. PTSD, depression somewhere else, anxiety. And we can load them up on pharmaceuticals, which can help. Sometimes can be the key. I'm not saying eliminate them. And I'm never going to say the toolbox because that makes me vomit. Maybe not vomit, but it's pretty close, right, Dave? The tool, another tool in the toolbox.
I like tools in the toolbox.
Oh, my God. Why are we eliminating something when it could help? And why are we coming to the stigma? Oh, you're a druggie. People have depression. I've dealt with depression in my life many times. People have anxiety. People have PTSD. People have trauma. And we're going to say, because we've decided that we shouldn't try this, when it's been used for a long, long time and helping people out, I think we should allow people to pursue this. If we want to have a limited group in the state, so we dip our toe in it, fine. But to make this, nope, we can't do it because mushrooms, that's what somebody I knew then or I still know now, and then they drove and they got an accident and they hurt somebody. I'm not advocating you put other people at risk. I'm trying to be the person who's saying, hey, data and science and scientists are showing us this can help people who are facing hell. And we're going to be holier than thou and tell them they can't get help. It's something that might work, might not. Give them the chance to try it. What do you want to say? What does Dave want to say? What do you want to say? Love a phone call or two on this. Obviously, we've touted the StylesFinancial.com talk and text lines a lot so far, and the feedback has been great. You can 1,000% disagree with me. You can agree. You can add some nuance, whatever you would like. 651-461-9226 on CCO. Your Lindis Construction Time Check is 53 past 1. It's time to get $500 off your insulation project. Call for more details. All right, Dave Harrigan, what do you want to say about this study, which is encouraging the opportunity and access for psilocybin mushrooms, considering their long, long history of success? But again, they're class one drug. They're like heroin. But we've had two states who are trying to be kind of the incubators, where states are allowed to be different and seeing how it works out. Do you want to see that in Minnesota?
I'm open to the conversation. I'm open to doing, you know, whatever more research needs to be done, more discussing with the experts. I don't know much about psilocybin mushrooms. I've never consumed a psilocybin mushroom. I just know that I don't really care for mushrooms in general. But,
well, you're wrong on that, by the way, separately.
Well, I'm not wrong. I'm telling you I don't care for mushrooms. Are you telling me I do care for mushrooms?
Yes, you do.
That's not correct.
You're suppressing your love of mushrooms.
That's not correct.
Which is why your eyebrows are as bushy as they are.
It has nothing to do with
If you acknowledge your eyebrows and the mushrooms, they all would be in sync.
Look, I've got the Luigi going for me right now with the eyebrows.
Your eyebrows.
I've never been more fashionable. I've never been more hip with the big eyebrows.
With the murderers and the deranged.
All I needed was the nation to fall in love with the deranged murderer. That's right.
Every one of those idiots who thinks Luigi was some hero or he's hot, they need some psilocybin mushrooms.
Might help.
Quickly.
Might help.
Among the texts. Oh, no, keep going.
No, it's worth the thought. I mean, it's worth the conversation. It's worth looking into more. You know, if it comes up with, no, these things are still too dangerous because this, then fine. But let's not just slam the door because, you know, decades ago we said mushrooms, level one.
We're done. Here's a texture who I think fits that category. The Chinese government is loving you promoting this. Hey. If they podcast the show, that'd be great. We're looking for the podcast us, Xi Jinping.
Mm-hmm.
I know he loves Am I Wrong. He's one among the many politicians who loves Am I Wrong. And was a bit disappointed the major stepped in on Am I Wrong last week. Again, you can podcast the show, Chad Hartman Show. The Chinese government. I don't in any way support the Chinese government. You know what I support, Texters? People who are dealing with trauma, depression, hell. And instead of whatever I can get from a pharmacy, if studies show effectiveness, I will do that. Because the same texter said, why didn't you do a show promoting ivermectin? Oh, we had four or five guests on ivermectin. And you know what the studies showed? It didn't work. From different doctors and scientists, it didn't work.
That's big science, Chad.
Yeah. Chad, excellent discussion, a subject most of us don't know much about. That's what we're trying to do. Heaven help us, we want to use Oregon or Colorado as models for illegal drug legalization here in Minnesota. We're not talking about it for recreational use. I think it's fairly condescending. Fairly condescending. If it was you and you had mental depression, or if it was your wife, your husband, your son, daughter, and this would help them, and they didn't abuse it, and they didn't put others in harm's way, you really would be against this? Why? I'm not saying, boom, let's do it, but let's continue to pursue it. And if people can use this and help them and not put others in harm's way, sounds like a pretty good plan for me.